Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we start a new hour, I just want you to hear this. After beating the Ravens on Sunday, the Steelers needed the Raiders and Chargers not to end in a tie. You all know what happened on Sunday night. Well, as Steeler fans were agonizing, watching the Raiders finally win at the end of overtime, Mike Tomlin said he wasn't concerned. Listen to this.
I missed the end of it. I dozed off. I knew I had a work day waiting on me, or I assumed that I had a work day waiting on me. I think at one point Oakland was up by 15, and that number made you somewhat comfortable. I'm probably better off not having watched it.
I love everything about that soundbite, literally everything, including the fact that they aren't Oakland anymore. There's nothing about that, Kmart, that
Mike
I didn't
Tomlin
love.
Mike Tomlin is straight comedy, honestly, because having covered that game, I understand why he was tired. In the rain, I actually dozed off myself and woke up to text messages saying, oh crap, oh my God, shaking my head from Steelers people. So I thought they lost as well. So I'm not gonna kill him for that. But the fact that the man just assumed I have a work day, that's that mental. Like, he knows we're going to work.
The fact that,
just built that the different
man fell asleep while his playoff fate was being decided.
That's so Tomlin, though.
It's quite remarkable.
That's so Tomlin. Right,
we are at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. You see the cast and crew we got working today. Let's go, Cindy. Roll it. We got a busy hour to go with here, and we're going to get up with postseason pressure. In just a moment, you're going to hear Jerry say Super Bowl or bust. Can his boys back it up? We're on it right there. Meanwhile, Rodgers, revved and ready to roll, will tell you what this month might mean to the rest of his career. And then Tampa Tom needs troops. The good news is he's gonna get them. We'll tell you which one player could put the Bucks back on top. All that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. In the NFL, the Cowboys tough wild card weekend game this Sunday against the 49ers. Now, Jerry Jones, in his regular radio visit yesterday, was asked about whether this is a Super Bowl or bust situation. His response is worth hearing.
How do you define success once you make the play? Is it title or bust for you?
Oh, unquestionably. There's no in between. A lot of that has got to do with availability of your players at that time. We're in good shape. We're in real good shape right now. And so, you know, we should be excited and be planning on it.
I'm just writing down the words, Dominic, that he used there. Availability. Their guys are healthy. We're in good shape. We should be planning on a long run.
Hint.
What's that?
Hint to Mike McCarthy.
Yes, hint. That's what I think. I think as we were trying to identify where the pressure point is here this morning in our pre-show meeting, Dominic, I think maybe the pressure there really goes on the coach.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like there's no excuses, right? If you have a deficiency on your team, then you can blame that. If you have a bad quarterback or if you have big holes on your defense, their defense isn't deep, but it's really not full of holes. But I would say the pressure really is going to end up on Micah Parsons, who has been one of the best defensive players in the league this year. He's a rookie. He's really fast. He's really aggressive. He's going to be looking to make a statement from his off-ball linebacker position in his first playoff game. And that's exactly what the 49ers will try to feast on. They're going to try to get him to over-pursue and over-commit based on early actions and then attack him in the pass game on play action or misdirection, end arounds, and those sort of things. So I think a guy like Micah Parsons might end up being able to define how this game looks early on if he has the self-control to remain patient and trust his keys and not try to do too much too early.
How much of that is coaching, too, though, Tim? It occurs to me that, you know, you got to make sure that he's prepared for that. If we know that they're going to do it, then the coaches know they're going to do it. How much of this, and let's go back to the McCarthy of it all here, Tim. If this doesn't go well for them on Sunday, there are going to be some, depending, of course, on how the game plays out, there could be some unhappy voices, I would think, around the Cowboys with regard to the coach. What do you think?
Greeny, you uncovered it. And listen, Dominique is right in terms of, like, on the field, like, the challenge for that defense. Like, that's for sure. But here's the deal. If the Niners run the football against them, if Jimmy Garoppolo has a great game, people aren't going to be like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to run Dan Quinn out of town. Or, hey, Micah Parsons, maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. That is not going to be the discussion. It's just not. The discussion is going to end up being, wait a second, why did we go get this, you know, Super Bowl winning coach to come here and coach all of this talent only to get run out of the playoffs by this Niners team? Like, that is the pressure point. There is no question about it that the most pressure is on Mike McCarthy. So, and I believe this is a tough draw. I said it last hour. This is a tough draw for the Dallas Cowboys. They could easily be a team that's one and done.
Yeah, Marcus made the point yesterday that they'd be a tough draw for anyone. It's right. The Cowboys who are unfortunate enough to be on the other side of that. How about McCarthy in this?
Why all the games in the season every week, when I was saying it's a referendum on where what the star is, because this is what they didn't want. They didn't want to have a matchup such as this, right? And when you look at this team, Mike McCarthy has the most pressure on him. But forget about the defense. To me, it's on Dak. You know, given the contract, given the injuries, there were so many questions about whether, you know, how long they took to pay him. Is he healthy? Is he in a slump? And each time he said, I'm good. This is a team that's very inconsistent, and the defense is not the unit that I worry about. I worry about if Jimmy Garoppolo outplays Dak, that's going to be a problem. The inconsistency with the running game on offense, like, the Cowboys have to come out, they have to start fast, and they have to win this game.
How about it, Dominique? How about Cousin Dak and the family group chat and everything else? How confident are we feeling about him going into this matchup against what's a pretty good San Francisco defense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the confidence, that front four in San Francisco is going to be a problem. But the confidence has been sky high, and it still is, because Dak has been a very impressive playoff performer. I have no reason to suspect that he's all of a sudden going to forget how to ball in the playoffs, because he always does. Check the numbers. But one thing that Kimberly said that I think is really smart and important is all the concern about stopping that 49ers offense, like, that changes if Dak and the Cowboys are able to get out to an early lead. They're not going to be able to do all that play action misdirection if they're trailing. At some point, if you get them down by two scores in the second half, you're going to force Jimmy G to do drop back passes, which puts the Cowboys defense in the position they want to be, with the best pass rushers in the league going after Jimmy Garoppolo in a high pressure situation.
That's the leverage point in this game, right? That's what it's about. Can the Cowboys play from in front, which is what they are built to do, when the 49ers are not built to come from behind? We will see. So that's one of the most interesting games, one of the many, on this weekend's schedule. Then there are the Packers, who get to sit back and watch just like the rest of us. For the second consecutive year, they're the one seed in the NFC, so they're the only team in the conference that gets the bye. Now, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have failed to make the Super Bowl in any of their last eight trips to the playoffs, dating back to 2011. They are the favorites at this point entering the playoffs. They're plus 380. By the way, if you had grabbed them at the midway point of the regular season, you could have had them at 10-1. That said, there were these rumors last week that Aaron Rodgers might sit out the Super Bowl in protest. And just because you may have heard those, we thought his response to them was worth airing once here. Here's what he said.
I've given a lot less the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But one thing I do give a major about is narratives about me, that, especially ones that are so ridiculously off base.
What if we just say he's going to boycott the Super Bowl? I think it's the dumbest I've ever heard.
Okay, so again, I don't know that there's any need for a response unless someone has one. I mean, I felt it was worth playing because some people may have heard that rumor and not heard his response yesterday. So if we like, we can put that behind us and move on to other business here, which is what exactly is about to happen with Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to boycott the Super Bowl. But if he wins it, Tim Hasselbeck, you have a theory that there is no way in the world he walks away if he wins the Super Bowl, and I'm interested to hear why.
Here's the deal. Playing quarterback in the NFL is hard. Look around the league at guys that it's hard for. It's not fun for. Like, did Baker Mayfield have fun this year? You know, did Sam Darnold, did he have a good time this season? Playing quarterback in the NFL is typically a struggle. It is hard.
Yeah.
It's not for Aaron. It's coming easy to Aaron right now. What he's done the last four seasons has been absolutely absurd. And he's won one Super Bowl. He's got an opportunity to win another one. there's a number of guys that have won two Super Bowls. There are very few guys that have won three or more. And so as we look at this list, there are three: Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, and Aikman. I think that it'd be wild. I think he's enjoying this way too much to be like, yep, I won, I'm out. I just don't think he'll do it. It's coming easy to him. He's playing great. He's having fun. And oh, by the way, yes, he's made a lot of money, but he's making a ton of money to keep doing something that comes really easy to him.
Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unlikely. I think what's happening is Aaron Rodgers is being really comfortable with a friend, Pat McAfee, and he's saying all the things that he's thinking. He's saying the things that you and I might say in a conversation, a phone conversation with one of our friends. We just so happen to get the opportunity to listen in on it and analyze it all the time. I think at the end of the season, depending on how things turn out, it is really unlikely. I think Tim's right. It's really unlikely that he's going to look at the season, consider how much fun he's had, consider how easy it was, and then say, let me go try something else. But I could see him retiring on top. Just not this year. Maybe a couple years from now when things get a little bit more rocky or he has some interest somewhere else pulling him in that direction. But right now, he's playing at MVP level. And I've never felt what it feels like to be an MVP level quarterback, but I bet it feels amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's going to be hard to walk away from that.
I'm glad that Dominique said it's almost like it's just a conversation between two friends, because this is what I picture Dominique and Ryan Clark sounding like the two of them just sitting on the couch, like, you know, just talking, just shooting the breeze. And we all have chairs and we're all around listening to them. Each week, Pat McAfee, kudos to you, because you draw me in, brother. You draw me in, and I sit there with my little psych major hat, and I'm like, what is Aaron trying to say now? Aaron is just speaking off the cuff. He's not going to retire after this year. He may be out of Green Bay, but his career is not ending anytime soon, and it shouldn't, because, as the guys are saying, he's playing at such a high level, MVP level.
But I feel like you've continued to say, and I know that you base this on conversations that you're having with people, that your expectation remains that he will leave Green Bay at the end of this year, no matter what happens.
It is. It would be such a great, if he stayed, that'd be such a great, twist to the narrative. Because this whole year, from the offseason to now, it feels like this is a book. This feels like we're just reading a story that feels like it's coming to an end. Mm-hmm. But I would love if Aaron just wrote a new chapter and just threw it in the book and was like, hey, psych, I thought I made you guys think I was leaving, but nope.
He is the narrator and the protagonist of this story. We'll see where he winds up going. In the meantime, we have many more games to get to. It's a rematch from just a few weeks ago where Big Ben was blitzed by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Should we expect anything different Sunday in frigid Kansas City? We will talk about that. Plus, hopes were super high when Matt Stafford came to L.A. Why all eyes are on that quarterback as they begin their postseason run. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, and we've got ourselves a look back here. When these two teams met, the Steelers and the Chiefs, back in Week 16, it was a one-sided affair. Big Ben trying to get business done against Kansas City, but it was Ben throwing the pick there, and it was Kansas City rolling to a comparatively easy win. This was Patrick Mahomes with a touchdown toss to Byron Pringle. At this time, we had no idea that this would wind up being a first-round playoff matchup, but here we are. Again, you see the score at the bottom of your screen, 23-0. in the second half. You had the Steelers then turning the football over and Kansas City able to take advantage. And so the Chiefs able to put in a dominating performance. This is Mahomes. This is Pringle again juking tackles and taking it into the end zone. But Kansas City, an easy win, 36-10. Mike Tomlin with these thoughts.
I don't know how much you learn from it, to be quite honest with you. They smashed us so definitively. More than anything, it's like a reboot. They handled us and handled us definitively. And so we understand that. But at the same time, we're not paralyzed by that. We're going to be challenged in totality. But it's January ball, man. That's what we signed up for.
All right, and so another thing you sign up for in January football on a Sunday night in Kansas City is cold. It's going to be 29 degrees. You got 14-mile-an-hour wind gusts. It's going to feel like it's 20 degrees.
Fantastic.
And all of those, of course, are music to the ears of our own Kimberly Martin, who has drawn that assignment for us at ESPN. So I trust that you have all of the warm clothing ready for the game this weekend.
I got my galoshes ready.
You got the galoshes ready to go.
I got the J's ready. Yeah, we're good.
And that's it. So give us, as you go through the notes here. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this is a matchup we just saw it a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. No one would have ever imagined, mm-hmm. but here are the Steelers. The world gives them no chance to win.
No chance.
But they won't approach it that way. How are they approaching it?
Because in case you didn't know, the Steelers are a team that smiles in the face of adversity. Like, I don't know how, because I covered them on Sunday, and you thought that would be the end of Ben. That was going to be the final. But then you thought against the Browns Monday night. Oh, this might be, you know, Ben's last game at home. Like, this might be an L. And each week, the Steelers somehow, despite Ben hobbling around, despite their offense not be able, not even looking, how do I say this?
Definitely.
Good. Yeah. They just find a way. Defense, they get key stops from TJ Watt. Like, this is a team that it's led by Tomlin. The belief is fed in these meetings. It doesn't matter about anybody else. We're going to find a way. And they do just enough. That's what the Steelers do. They do just enough to surprise the hell out of you.
And this would, of course, be one of the big surprises in recent postseason memory. The Chiefs are comfortably a double-digit favorite in this game. So let's live there, Tim. Let's live in a world where if I said to you the Steelers find a way to win this game, what is that way? How does Pittsburgh find a way to pull off what would be an enormous upset?
Yeah, I think, Greeny, sometimes when you get asked that question, it's like, hey, you can point to one thing. Like, hey, if you do this one thing, you have a shot. I just don't believe that that's the case for Pittsburgh. I think they have to have a number of things kind of go their way. First would be you can't let Kansas City get off to a fast start because you're not going to be able to play catch-up against them. You need to be able to run the football, something they actually did a decent job of in the regular season matchup. Najee Harris had 19 carries for nearly 100 yards. You need to stop Kansas City from running it. One of the more surprising things this year is Kansas City has been a pretty physical, running football team, in part because of the way they've remade their offensive line. So those things need to be a factor. And then I know this sounds simple, but you've got to win the turnover battle. And I think you've got to win it significantly. Like, I think it's got to be like 2-0 in your favor. Otherwise, I just don't think that they have the firepower. They're just not as good of a football team to get it done.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, TJ Watt. I know Tim is right in saying that you can't narrow it down to one thing, but I'm going to do my best. It's TJ Watt. He's going to have to own this game, get 3 or 4 sacks. Those are going to have to be fumbles that get a short field for their team. He will be the only way that they get this, or that front, actually. Give them all credit because he's not the only one, but he's the best one. They're going to have to create turnovers, fumbles, and it seems like Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball in situations that could end up in interceptions. You're going to have to catch them. There's no dropped interceptions. There's no clapping your hands after that. Like, you drop one, you've lost. And you got to get back there and create problems for them and give your team more possessions. They're going to need more possessions on a short field than the Chiefs in order to win.
I'm glad that Dominique said TJ Watt, and you're showing highlights of the Bills there, because after that loss, the Bills, how they felt, the difference in that game was TJ Watt. It was one answer why they lost that game.
And so maybe he's able to pull off. Again, it would be one of the big surprises we've seen in a long time. But if Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger are on one side, I don't think it's wise to give them no chance at all. Meanwhile, let's go on the clock because we've got a bunch of very interesting matchups this weekend. So let's talk about our level of trust. Kmart, if I said, looking at San Francisco, Dallas, which quarterback do you trust more to play big in this game? Jimmy G or Dak Prescott? 30 seconds, who you got?
Greeny, I don't trust many people, but in this case, I will go with Dak because, you know, we've seen Dak perform. And I wouldn't go against Dummy's cousin, obviously. But we've seen him come through in big spots. He's coming off a game in which he threw 5 touchdowns. You know, the offense was clicking. He looked crisp. And Jimmy G, when you watch him, there's bad Jimmy and there's good Jimmy. And whenever you see good Jimmy, you feel like bad Jimmy is about to follow. And that makes me a little nervous with the 49ers.
Yeah, and so we'll see. He also has probably the better supporting cast around him. We'll see how it turns out. Neek, let's do another game here. Let's do the Raiders and the Bengals. Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, 30 seconds. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Joe Burrow. I think the offensive line may be an issue, but everybody else on that offense is outstanding. Joe Burrow is young and inexperienced and has never been in the playoffs before. Eh, so is Carr. He's never been in the playoffs before either. Like, I feel like if we're talking about big game experience, Joe Burrow's national championship run, like, those are pretty big games. He has big game experience. I think he is going to be just as comfortable, if not more comfortable, than Derek Carr will be in that situation. So I got to go Burrow.
It's 100% right. Another thing Derek Carr never did was go into Bryant-Denny Stadium and beat Bama and beat Nick Saban and win those, as you say, the playoff games on the college level. Burrow has played big games in his career. Tim, I'll give you our game on Monday night. Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford. Who do you trust? 30 seconds. Go.
A lot of times coaches will say to players, like if they're competing for a job, like, hey, make this decision for me. You know, decide this for me by how you play. And I think because of that type of philosophy on it, I'm trusting Kyler Murray more. Yeah. The reality is that there is a ton of pressure on Matthew Stafford. He was brought into this team that's got a championship defense to basically be that missing piece, to bring them over the edge, to be better than Jared Goff was. But he's just turned the football over a ton. And oftentimes it's been kind of silly turnovers, forces, things that you wouldn't expect a guy with his experience to do. And so for that reason, I'm going to take Kyler Murray.
I think you actually hit upon an interesting point. Maybe this is something we can talk about more as the week goes on. Is there a player, as this postseason begins, under more personal pressure to succeed than Matthew Stafford? He might be at the very top of that list. We'll talk about it as we go. In the meantime, before the Giants dismissed Joe Judge yesterday, Aaron Rodgers took direct aim at him. What impact did that have on the big decision? We'll talk about it as we continue. It's a busy hour. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and we call these QB quick reads with our quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, who is the MVP of the league this year, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
I believe it's Aaron Rodgers. It's really actually not that difficult of a decision for me. I just think Aaron's made it look so easy this year. And while, you know, we talk a lot about, hey, Devontae Adams, I think he's made a lot of the other players around him significantly better. Some of those young wide receivers, tight ends that have been injured and kind of new to the lineup. And so, you know, Aaron, to me, has just played at a level that I don't know that we've seen a ton of quarterbacks ever play at.
I completely agree. I think he's playing better than he ever has before. Next, which playoff quarterback is under the most pressure?
Yeah, I kind of answered this one in the last block. To me, it's Matthew Stafford. Look, he's one of my favorite players to watch because his ability is so incredible. You know, and he was brought in to basically be this massive upgrade at the quarterback position. And I, like many, thought that he would be just that. The problem has been he's turned the football over, and I think there's now a lot of pressure on him to not do that when he's playing with such a good defense and such a good football team around him.
It's a tough draw they have on Monday night against the Cardinals. Meanwhile, how many times does Mac Jones need to throw the ball if he's going to beat Buffalo Saturday night?
I nearly got talked into saying two, but I'm saying it's 16. Look, they're going to run the football, and I don't think they need to necessarily put it on him and have him throw it a ton. Now, a lot of that will have to be determined by how the New England defense plays against that Buffalo offense. But I think there is a scenario where they can throw the football about 16 times, be balanced, not put too much on him, and have a chance to win that football game.
And look, weather is going to be a factor in all of this. Clearly, weather is a big deal Saturday night. Temperature 2 degrees, wind gusts up to 14 miles an hour, so it's going to feel like it's below zero. And Hembo texted me the coldest NFL games of all time. And if you remember the legendary game in which Tom Coughlin's face turned bright red.
Has never changed.
That game at Lambeau Field. That one at kickoff, it was -1 degree. So this is right in that ballpark. That's how cold this is going to be. So Hasselbeck, how is it possible that you told us in the first hour that you don't think that that weather is going to have a significant impact on the team's abilities to play offense, particularly Buffalo's ability to throw the football?
Because throwing the football really is not impacted by cold. And I go back to that game in Green Bay, the Giants Green Bay. Like, teams were throwing the football in that game. What impairs your ability to throw the football are things like wind. That's what we saw in the first matchup. Honestly, snow isn't even as big of a deal as wind is. To me, that ends up being the factor. And so we can look at cold all that we want. But look, if it were 30 degrees, but with 40 mile per hour winds, Greeny, that would be way worse for the Buffalo Bills than 2 degree weather with 14 mile per hour gusts. So to me, I really don't think that the weather ends up being a factor at all for Buffalo.
What do you think, Nate?
That's a quarterback's perspective. Throwing it.
Oh, listen, I'm not talking about hitting anybody, Neek.
No.
Listen,
I'm not talking about
that's a totally different story.
I'm not talking about that either. I think throwing it may not be any more difficult, but catching it sure as hell is. Like, trust me, try to catch a ball when your hands are frozen. Like, that matters to them too. Hitting people matters, but I think you're right. The wind, as far as delivering the pass, matters. But it's gonna be tough to use your hands and catch the ball when you can't feel them. You don't even know that they're at the end of your wrist because they're frozen solid. So I imagine the technology has advanced to the point that maybe they can do something about that, but some guys are going to be out there struggling.
Well, Josh Allen actually talked about how he's like me. Like, he has bad circulation and how he couldn't feel his feet at some point. And trust me, standing pregame, I often lose circulation in my extremities as well. So it's very difficult for us reporters. But, you know, Neek brought up the weather and catching the football. I'm thinking the Bills have to run the football. Josh Allen has to use his arm and his legs. Who wants to tackle him? Like, the hits just feel different. When you listen to football players here on our sets talk about the cold and the impact. Like, Marcus Spears said, it feels like you get electrocuted with those hits. Like, that's something that the Patriots, they have to lean on their defense for this game instead of Mac Jones. I'm curious what they do with Josh.
But here's what I wanted to bring up in our first opportunity to have this conversation, guys. That we always talk about Bill Belichick taking away the one thing you want to do, making you play left-handed, if you will. Well, as I watch the Buffalo Bills, and Tim, you tell me if I'm overstating this, I feel like they are as dependent on their quarterback as any team in the league. They need him to do everything. He is their primary rushing threat, as well as obviously being their passer. And I feel like if Belichick can find some way to neutralize him, whatever that might be, it feels like you're telling me maybe that can't be done, because Belichick, who will take away the best thing that you do and is the greatest coach of all time, I don't think Josh Allen's running out there and having himself a fun night in the cold on Saturday night.
How do you take away the other team's quarterback when he can attack all areas of the field with how he throws the football? He's, you know, a tremendous, you know, runner when it's designed runs, and he can take off and scramble. To your point, Greeny, the last time they played, Josh Allen had 47 passing attempts and had 12 carries. He was tied for the lead in terms of his team, in terms of rushing attempts. That's nearly 60 times in the game where the Bills said, "Hey, Josh, we need you to be great." And I think that They would rather it be that way than anything else. And so I wouldn't expect anything different in this matchup. And the challenge ends up being for Belichick is like, all right, you want to take away that thing they do best. Well, what aspect of it? What aspect of Josh Allen are you trying to take away? And I think that's one of the things that is just, nearly impossible to do.
What's the aspect,
You'll have to confuse him is the only thing, because he has the tools to beat you in every way. Like, he can attack the middle of the field. He can attack deep. He can attack outside. If you play heavy coverage, he can run the ball. If you play man, he can get out there and attack with your defenders with their back to him. If you play zone, he has the arm strength to put it anywhere. And he has a receiver in Stephon Diggs that cannot be covered in man coverage. So the problem is you can't take it all the way if he does it all really well. You have to confuse him and make him anticipate that this is the play where I'm going to have to run it. Oh, no, we're ready for that. This is the play when I'm going to have to attack deep down the field. No, we're ready for that now, too. So I think that's the only way you have success in this matchup, especially since their offense is not going to be able to put up enough numbers to keep up. They're going to have to confuse Josh Allen.
Yeah, this one doesn't feel like it. It shapes up well for Mac Jones. We'll see how it turns out. In the meantime, in the NFL last night, the New York Giants added to the list of coaching vacancies in the league by firing Joe Judge. After just two seasons, he had come under fire for his team's abysmal play and several rambling post-game press conferences. Now, yesterday, before that firing was announced, Aaron Rodgers weighed in on the Giants when they ran those back-to-back quarterback sneaks at their own 5-yard line. This is what Rodgers had to say.
3rd and 9 on the -5. Let's go in goal line personnel and run a QB sneak.
Yeah, you would call timeout there. We'd audible. Hey,
call that one in, Matt, and let's see what happens. That ain't flying.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Fourth quarter.
Unbelievable. The breakdown that
Orlovsky
had on that was pretty amazing.
Okay, so let's just analyze exactly. I mean, look at Neek's face. Let's analyze what just happened here, Kmart. I mean, this doesn't happen often. We made a big deal last week of Joe Judge making somewhat cryptic remarks about Washington's team having problems on their sideline. This is the MVP of the league just coming out and mocking the head coach of another team. I have to believe that had some impact on the decision that was made last night.
Yes, because John Mara is a guy who does pay attention to what is said about his team, how his team is viewed in the media, and to have arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game openly mock and deride your head coach, who you kind of are on the fence about anyway. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. Because when you look at this franchise, if I said this in the first hour, if they were called the New York football team, we would be mocking them too because of how they've played over a decade. This is a team that in 11 years has gone to one playoff game and hasn't won it. This is a head coach who he acted as though he thought he was safe in the way he, in his game plans, in his play calling, in the way he talked to the media, in the way he ripped other franchises. That wasn't cryptic. What he said about Washington, that was a direct hit.
Fair enough.
And then days later, he's out the door. But when you look at John Mara, he's an owner. It's about selling seats. What can you sell to this fan base? You can't sell a developed and promising quarterback anymore. You can't sell a GM who's a veteran and knows how to steer a winning organization. You can't sell that. And you can't sell that your head coach, that the team plays hard for the head coach and he's laid a proper foundation. You have nothing to sell. And that's something that the new GM, new head coach have to be mindful of. This is a very good situation, except John Mara is under pressure to win very soon.
Yeah, Dominique, I'll come to you because we can, and you were right. The comments weren't cryptic. Maybe I phrased that wrong, but they weren't nearly as direct as what Rodgers said. He's sitting there on a nationally syndicated show making fun, openly making fun of an NFL head coach. Neek.
Something just hit me while we were watching that sneak for the 15th time is that I think Joe Judge thought that was him showing off as a coach. Like, there's no other reason to do that. That's not a formation that anyone else has in their playbook. He was like, my job's on the line. You know how I'm going to save my job? With this reverse wing QB sneak followed by another QB sneak. Like, that is the most outrageous part of it. And I think everything that Kimberly said is right. The image matters. And whether teams want to admit it or not, I think that John Mara knows that it matters. And right now, being perceived as kind of a laughingstock, because I don't think it matters what their name is. We have been making fun of them. We've been making fun of them all year. And I think no one wants to own an entity that's worth billions of dollars. There's only 32 of them in the league and still be laughed at. Like, how must that feel? You have one of the coolest things in the world. You own it. And people are pointing at you and laughing. Yes, I'm firing my head coach, my GM. Everybody got to get out of here to stop these giggles.
Tim, go ahead. Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, listen, I think if the season, what's interesting about this, and I agree with, you know, what both Kimberly and Dominique said, and what you've said, Greeny, about, you know, Aaron's criticism and how, you know, that stings a little bit more as well because of who it's coming from. I will say this in terms of how quickly this went away. The, you know, Joe Judge did not do a good job in New York. That's clear. And they, in my opinion, got the quarterback position wrong as well. But here's what's interesting. If this season ended 4 weeks ago, he's going to survive
it. 2 weeks ago.
He's actually going to survive it. And Kimberly brought this up earlier. You know, his rant. So I think in some ways he started to talk himself out of that situation because now all of a sudden everyone's looking around like, wait a second. Who's calling this guy saying they wish they were still a Giant? Like, let's go through the guys. Not sure who that could be. The shots at, you know, at Washington. As much as they're rivals, that's just not how the Giants do business. It's not. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just started to reflect poorly on the organization, and so much so that you looked around at it and everyone's making fun of them. I mean, that's literally what's been happening in New York. It's been a joke. And I think that they kind of were forced to make this decision.
All right, we'll see. I think that was a fascinating one. It took a day longer than I think expected. But one way or another, it sets up with two top draft picks as a potentially pretty attractive job for somebody. In the meantime, our Jamuary sports calendar rolls on. Here we go, with the Spanish Super Cup final on Sunday and the start of the Australian Open. Then next week, we have the first ever Monday night wildcard playoff game between the Cardinals and the Rams. And UFC 270 is Saturday the 22nd. So a little bit of everything this month on ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and on ESPN+. Coming up, Tom Brady's chase for an 8th ring is getting a big boost. While the Buccaneers are saying welcome back to some key pieces at exactly the right time. So we'll do that, and we'll do this, Dominique, from Sneaky Hembo. Which team played the most minutes with a lead this season, meaning spent the most time in the lead out of the entire season this year? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and Dominique, here we go, from Sneaky Hembo. Which team in the NFL played the most minutes with a lead this season?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess it would be foolish for me to go with the Packers because that's too easy. The Cardinals had a really impressive run early in the season, so maybe the Cards.
It's not a bad guess. They weren't far from the top, but the answer is Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills played the most minutes. But what's really interesting on this list, third is the Indianapolis Colts. It's the Bills, then the Chiefs, and then the Colts who find themselves on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers are banged up as they head into this season's postseason. Leonard Fournette nursing a hamstring cost him the last three games. He had over 400 yards and four touchdowns last postseason. On the defensive side, Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul have also been out the last couple of weeks. They combined for six sacks in the playoff run last year. keying that Super Bowl win by constantly pressuring Patrick Mahomes. And then there's Levante David, who was the longest tenured Buccaneer. He spent the last 3 weeks on the IR with a foot injury. He was their second leading tackler in the postseason last year and is their second leading tackler this year. Now, the Bucs and the Eagles will play this weekend. They met on week six. But the Bucs will be without a lot of their key contributors in this one. And we mentioned Fournette, and they may get him back. They're not going to get back Antonio Brown. They're not going to get back Chris Godwin, to quote Rick Pitino that time. Those guys aren't walking through that door. So let's deal in the people that Tom Brady is going to need, assuming we all have great confidence that he will be great in this postseason. Dominique, who is the one player he needs to also be great in order to have a chance to go back-to-back in Tampa?
Yeah, I kind of come to accept the fact that the defense is not going to be as good as they were last year. So it's going to put a lot more pressure on this offense, which makes me feel like Leonard Fournette is the guy that they need. Playoff Lenny, he was sixth in the league for touches when he got hurt. They were very reliant on him, not just in the running game, but you know Tom Brady, if you get a little bit of pressure, he's getting rid of that ball quickly. Leonard Fournette was the guy that was there to catch those quick outlet passes. So we'll see what happens with him going forward, how healthy he's going to be. They may not need him for this first-round game, but to go deep in the playoffs, given all the injuries that they have on that team offensively and defensively, I think they're going to need Leonard Fournette to take some of that pressure off of Tom Brady.
Yeah, and in particular, because, Tim, I think you've made this point repeatedly, and it's a good one. The loss of Godwin is one that is going to be really challenging to overcome.
Yeah, to me, I think that changed everything in terms of their Super Bowl hopes, just to be honest with you. He's always been their most important offensive player outside of the quarterback because he does so much. Plays outside, plays in the slot. They use him as an insert blocker. And they didn't have anybody to replace him. And so even when people were like, well, they're going to get Antonio Brown back, Antonio Brown was never going to fill that void. Now they don't have him. And so I agree with Dominique. That's where Leonard Fournette can, you know, kind of make up the difference, if you will, just by being a guy that breaks tackles, being a guy that when it's not there and it's not perfect, can get it done. Like if he can kind of turn into this dominant back, you know, the way that people want to talk about, well, like what's the impact that someone like Derrick Henry's going to have? If he can do those types of things, that'll help. That's why I really believe that the biggest difference for that football team has to come on the defensive side of the ball. They need to play the way they did last season in the postseason.
Now, Kimberly, I've now gotten to know you well enough to know that your faith in Tom Brady is unshakable.
Because of magic, right, Dominique?
No. Yep. But they were fortunate last year. They were yeah. very healthy going into the postseason and stayed that
and
way.
Other
They're
teams
not this year.
Yep.
Do you still see them as the team?
I think you can't count them out because of Tom Brady. It's clear that this was a roster that was brought back to repeat. This roster is not exactly the same, and Brady has to rely on other guys that he may not have had to lean on in key moments. I think Dominique talking about Leonard Fournette, that's key. This defense having to play better is important. They also have to use the tight ends. Like Gronk is his guy, Cameron Brait, O.J. Howard. Like they've got to find some other playmakers besides Leonard Fournette, because I think we're all expecting this game to hinge on Leonard Fournette as well. But once you have one of the greatest quarterback, excuse me, the greatest quarterback of all time, sorry, you can't count him out because we've seen him do well with less.
Yes, that's right. We've seen him win with less than he has right now. But to beat Aaron Rodgers, who's playing on a similar, if not even higher level right now, he's going to need some help. We'll see if he gets his troops back. In the meantime, are you paying attention to what Ja Morant is doing in Memphis? It's a rhetorical question, because I know you're not, but you should be. Ja Morant right now has put himself in the MVP conversation, and he did it on a big stage last night. Look at him going up and throwing one down on the alley-oop from Zaire Williams, taking on the best team in the NBA in Golden State and outplaying them in every way. Look at the no-look lob that Ja Morant throws there. Grizzlies up 8 at halftime against the Warriors, and he's just doing it all. Let's take you to where this game was decided, because Ja Morant was the man there as well. Under a minute to go in the fourth, Grizzlies have a 3-point lead, and watch Morant getting into the painted area, stops, pops, drops. They're up by 5, and then as they look to put it away, you think this kid has a left hand? Take a look at this. 29 points, 8 assists. Grizzlies have won 10 straight games. They take this one 116-108. And John Morant's play, I'll say it again, it has put him in the MVP conversation. He is right now tied with LeBron and DeMar DeRozan for the fifth best MVP odds. Only Steph Curry, KD, Giannis, and Jokic are ahead of him. He is also the odds-on favorite to win Most Improved Player. He's been spectacular. Meanwhile, we have really good games on ESPN tonight. Starts with the Mavs taking on the Knicks. So we'll see Luka tonight. We'll see Julius Randle tonight. That's our early game following countdown. And then the Eastern Conference showdown. DeRozan and the Bulls, they're playing great. KD, James Harden, and the Nets. Our NBA doubleheader available on ESPN and the app. One app, one tap. And again, we'll start your evening with countdown at 7 Eastern. On the way, the Giants aren't Joe Judge's problem anymore. What is next for them? We'll talk about that. Tom Brady and a whole lot more as First Take follows us. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Our next NHL on ESPN matchup has the Flyers in Boston to take on the Bruins, and our featured ESPN Plus matchup of the night is a Metropolitan Division battle between the Blue Jackets and Canes. Our coverage of both starts at 7 Eastern. They're also available on the ESPN app, one tap. And before we officially turn the page to the postseason, let's take one last look back at our favorite plays of the regular season. Tim Hasselbeck, what was your favorite play of the year?
Well, so here's the deal. There are 272 games, which means over 35,000 plays this year. There was one that made me stand up out of my chair when I saw it live, and it was this throw from Justin Herbert to Guyton for the touchdown. This thing travels about 63 yards in the air. It could not be thrown any better. Very few times does that happen. It was unbelievable.
Kamar, what was your favorite play?
Forget it. This Robert Hunt, remember this name, week 11, Dolphins, Ravens. Look at my man. This is for Jeff Saturday. Damian Woody, hell, throwing Marcus Spears, all the big boys. Look at that score. It didn't count, though, because he was ineligible. He didn't report eligible, yeah. But still.
It didn't count, but it mattered. Dominique, what was your favorite play?
I'm going with Micah Parsons. It may not be eye-popping to you, but this man is the best pass rusher in football, and he's a middle linebacker, and apparently he can play corner and switch his coverages. Like, this is just an outstanding play. I know it's not pretty. I know it's not a 60-yard bomb or a chubby dude diving, but it's great.
This one is pretty. This was my favorite play. That pass from Aaron Rodgers, this angle of it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
That throw from Aaron Rodgers in that game against the Rams to Randall Cobb. Look where he puts this ball. It's just ridiculous. That's why he is the MVP.
Give me a big man.
Great fun today. Thank you for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.